Hi, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? I'm Ray with another podcast episode. Mrs. Fortescue caused a lot of interest last week. Did you listen to last week's episode, Tales of a Parish Councillor? Mrs. Fortescue was in her 30s. Well, I won't go back. You listen to that. You have a listen to that one. But many, many people have said, what happened with Mrs. Fortescue? Tell us what happened. Maybe one day I will, but I don't want to get my podcast episode banned. What I will tell you is a little bit more about village life, because apart from Mrs. Fortescue, there are a lot of other things that went on in that village that until I'd become a parish councillor, I had no idea about. I knew about the village pub. I used to go there. In the 3 years that I lived in the village, I got to know the people there. My neighbours were nice and friendly. I'd never been involved in the local church, the local tennis club, the stables where they kept horses. I was never involved in that. I was never involved in their amateur dramatic society thing that they had in the village. I was just one of the villagers. Going to the pub and knowing people in the local shops, everyone was very friendly, and that's as far as I knew. I didn't know that there were people like Mrs. Fortescue around, and the vicar. Where shall I start? Let's start with the vicar. The vicar picked up on me as a parish councillor. I hadn't actually left. I'd gone to that first meeting, as I said in the last episode, and I intended to hand my notice in, or whatever it is you do when you don't want to be a parish councillor anymore. Anyway, the vicar turned up at my place and introduced himself. I'd seen him around the village, but I'd never actually spoken to him. He said he was progressive. He was young, and he was a progressive vicar. So he was young and progressive. He wasn't much older than me, early 30s. He said, I know you're into electronics. I've heard that. He must have picked that up from someone on the parish council. I mentioned I was a radio amateur. And he said, we're putting on a production, the Amateur Dramatic Society at the Church Hall. And I thought, oh, no, I'm not going to get roped into that. That's the last thing I want. And he said, no, what it is, the lighting, there's a problem with the lighting. Could you have a look? So I thought, well, fair enough. I'll have a look at the lighting. I don't mind doing that. But I'm certainly not getting involved in any amateur dramatics. So I went along to the church a couple of evenings later. He said they were doing a rehearsal. And there was a kind of, the hall wasn't, well, it was bigger than the village hall, but it wasn't that big. I don't know how many people they expected to go and see their play. He said to me that the play was written by a local playwright. Then he said, actually, he's not a local playwright at all. He's an idiot. I thought that was a funny thing for the vicar to say. He's an idiot. Okay, fine, whatever. I'm not going to see the play anyway. So I was on the stage just to the left. Is it stage left? I don't know. I've never been on the stage. Stage left, behind the kind of these black drapes, curtains that were hanging down. That's where the lighting console was. Well, I say console. It was a bit of plywood with a few switches on it. I fixed that. It was just a fuse and a couple of bits of wiring that wanted sorting out. I was about to emerge from behind the curtain because I'd fixed the lighting when I saw Mrs. Fortescue strutting across the hall. Towards the vicar. He was just at the bottom of the stage, 2-3 yards from where I was standing. So I slipped back behind the curtain. I didn't want to meet Mrs. Fortescue. I was meeting my girlfriend. I told her to come along to the church hall, and she was going to meet me there. So I didn't want to have Mrs. Fortescue anyway. She came up to the vicar and she said, oh, good evening, vicar. And he said, oh, good evening, Mrs. Fortescue. Lovely to see you. Now, what was the time? I think it was 7:30. Can't remember. She said, 8:30, vicar, don't forget. And he said, oh, I won't forget that, will I? And he's sort of sniggering. And I thought, what's going on here? Is this something untoward happening here? And she said, I've got a little surprise for you this evening. Oh, I look forward to that, he said. My eyes were at last being opened to village life. What was the vicar going to see Mrs. Fortescue for? What did I go and see her for the previous week? Mrs. Fortescue finally turned, strutted across the hall floor and out of the door. So that was that. Just as I was about to emerge from behind the curtain, Kathy, my girlfriend, walked in. I'd only known her for a few days, and we were getting on quite well. I didn't want her to bump into Mrs. Fortescue, obviously. So Kathy walked over to the vicar. I was still behind the curtain, and she said, oh, hello, vicar, do you know where Ray is? And he looked her up and down. I could just see from round you from behind the curtain. He looked her up and down and he said, "Oh, you're a pretty young thing." I thought, good grief, this vicar he's dealing with. Yeah, what's he like? And she said, "Oh, thank you. Do you know where Ray is?" And he said, "No, he was fixing the lighting." And then he said, "Well, don't worry about Ray. Come and have a chat." And he sort of sat on the stage and she sat next to him. He said, "Now, do you live in the village? I've not seen you before." And she just smiled. And I came out from behind the curtain. I thought, I'll put a stop to this. He's got Mrs. Fortescue to deal with. He's not dealing with Cathy as well. "Oh, there you are," he said. "There you are, Ray. Oh, lighting all done?" I said, yes, all done. And off he went, left me with Cathy. So that was that. I took Cathy round to the pub and we had a few drinks and a bit of a laugh about the vicar. She was good fun, actually, Cathy. She said, "Well, let's wind him up." And I said, "Well, no, let's not," because I knew he'd gone round to see Mrs. Fortescue. She wanted to go back to the church hall and have some fun, tease him and things. It was a few days later, I was round the local shops, just buying some milk and bits and pieces. And one of the parish council people happened to come into the shop. "Oh, Ray," he said, "oh, jolly good, I'm glad I bumped into you, old boy. Tennis club, do you play tennis?" And I said, "Well, no, I don't play tennis. I've had a go. It's quite good fun, but I'm not very good at it. I don't..." "Oh, good, good, I'm glad you play," he interrupted. I didn't play at all. I sort of knocked a ball around. "Tonight," he said, "tonight, 7:30, we're meeting at the clubhouse." And he said, "You know where the tennis club is?" I said, yes, I know where it is." And I thought, here we go again. You know, what's going to happen at the tennis club? I wanted to go along because this was all intriguing me. You know, the vicar and Mrs. Fortescue, the parish council, the church hall. It was better than EastEnders, or should I say Peyton Place. Do you remember Peyton Place? The continuing story of Peyton Place. So I went along to the tennis club, the clubhouse, as he called it. It was basically a small, just a bar, really. It was quite nice in there, very nicely done out. Quite a lot of people, well, I say quite a lot, what, a dozen people in there, I suppose. This chap here, the parish councillor, introduced me to one or two people. I was chatting at the bar, having a beer, and I was actually thinking I might well join the tennis club, even though I couldn't play. I thought this is rather a good sort of social thing, because all we had was the pub, and this was something, I'd never been to the tennis club, this was something new, and I thought this might be a good idea. I was chatting away to someone at the bar when the vicar came in. "Good evening, Ray," he said, a big grin on his face as he came over. "How's your young lady?" I said, "Yeah, she's fine. Is she with you tonight?" And he's looking round. I said, no, she's not. "Oh, does she live in the village?" And I said, "Yes." I don't know why. I just said, "Yes, she lives with me." "Oh, does she now? Oh, right. I'll have to pop round." I said, "Oh, will you?" He said, "Yes, to see you, you know, about the lighting. I'm not quite sure that it's still right." He didn't want to pop round and see me at all. He wanted to pop round and see Cathy. I don't know why I said she lived with me. I think it was this wind-up that Cathy had suggested. I thought I'd wind him up. He finally went off and spoke to other people. And then Mrs. Fortescue wandered into the so-called clubhouse, headed straight for the vicar, chatted to him, saw me, and was heading towards me. So I made out I hadn't seen her. I nipped out into the washrooms. I took as long as I could, then I came back out, back to my drink at the bar, and she swooped on me. "Ah, Ray," she said, "what are you doing later this evening?" I said, "Oh, no, I've got a lot on tonight, and I..." And she said, "You don't have to put that voice on." She said, "I know that's not really you." I don't know. So I said, "Oh, OK." I said, "I'm rather busy this evening. Got a lot to do." And she said, "I'd like you to do one or two jobs like you did before at my house." And I said, "Honestly, Mrs. Fortescue, I can't. I just don't have the time this evening." And she said, "Oh, well, this just won't do at all." And I said, "Have you spoken to the vicar?" And she said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, perhaps he could do one or two jobs." She said, "The vicar?" She said, "Oh, no. I don't know what you're talking about. Vicar's never been to my house. I wouldn't have the vicar there." She looked rather disgruntled as she turned and left the clubhouse. I suppose she was annoyed because she couldn't find anyone to do a little job for her that evening. The vicar came over to me and he said, "What was she saying?" I said, "Oh, she was just chatting, you know, nothing in particular." And he said, "You ought to watch her." And I said, "Oh, why is that?" And he said, "Oh, I'll tell you one day, but, you know, steer clear of her." I said, "Yeah, OK, fine." Then he said, "Oh, you see that chap over there? keep away from him, he's a nasty piece of work. And I said, oh, really? I thought tennis club people would all be rather jolly, don't you know? He said, oh, no, not at all. He said, there's some right ones here. He said, those two chaps over there. And I looked across, a couple of chaps sitting at a table having a chat. He said, oh, they're know-alls. You want to keep well away from them. They know everything. They know everything about everything, but they don't know anything. They're idiots. And I thought, well, this is a fine club, isn't it? Everyone's so friendly here. Keep away from her. Keep away from him. Do you know, I've always found that with clubs and societies and affiliations, you get these groups of people, sort of cliquey people. That lot there don't speak to that lot over there, and no one speaks to him. He knows everything. I joined a group once. An online group to do with radio. This is years ago. And this chap, it was some new frequencies that we were allowed. And this chap came on and he said, I'm going to, this was on the radio, he said, I'm going to coordinate everyone on these new frequencies. And a couple of people popped up on the radio and said, well, you're not coordinating me. And I said, no, you're not coordinating me either. You can clear off. That was the end of him. But you get this with clubs, don't you? Groups of people. There's always one or two that, I don't know, they seem to cause or stir trouble up. You get the little groups of people that don't sort of mingle together. You're either in that group or that group, and you can't know everyone, which is all rather odd. And I felt that's what the tennis club was like, which was a shame because, you know, I had thought it would be rather nice to join. Then the vicar grinned at me and he said, do you know the local stables? And I said, I know of them. I know there are horses kept somewhere in the village. I've never actually been there. He said, what are you doing this Saturday morning? And I said, Saturday morning, nothing as far as I know. Meet you at the stables, he said. I'll introduce you to one or two of the girls. So I said, oh, right. What for exactly? He said, oh, there's some lovely girls get down there. They do the mucking out on a Saturday morning and they brush the horses down. And he said, you'll see what I mean when we get there. Meet me there on Saturday morning. Get there about 10. And off he went. And I thought, good grief. What's this vicar? He's getting worse. He's after my girlfriend. He's got Mrs. Fortescue. Now he's down at the local stables chatting up the girls down there. As I said earlier, my eyes were being opened. They really were. This was village life. Behind the scenes, behind the facade of the pretty gardens and the well-to-do people. The jolly hockey sticks and all that. Oh, good afternoon, old man. How are you? What? It was far worse than Peyton Place. I had a CB radio, which I used to keep in touch with a couple of friends that weren't radio amateurs. And I just had the radio on one evening when I was doing a bit of housework, as I did from time to time, once a year. And I heard a familiar voice on the radio talking to a female, a girl. And I turned the volume up and it was the vicar. I was sure it was the vicar. And I listened, and he's saying to this girl, where do you live? You know, what's your address? Do you fancy meeting for a drink? And I thought, what's the vicar up to now? He's got a CB radio. I was 99% sure it was his voice. So I wasn't far from the vicarage, only, what, quarter of a mile. So lovely summer evening, I went for a brisk walk down to his place. From the front of his vicarage, there wasn't really much to see. Through the side gate, which was open, I went round to the back, and there's a CB aerial on the back of the house. So I looked in through what I assumed was his study window, and there he is. He had his back to the window. He's chatting on a CB radio. He's chatting up the girls on the radio. Good grief. He was supposed to be a man of the cloth, and he seemed to be a man of, well, I don't know what he was a man of. I dread to think. I didn't go down to the stables on the Saturday morning. I thought, well, I'm not going to get involved in that. As I said, I'd already got my new girlfriend, Kathy, and what with Mrs. Fortescue and the way the vicar was carrying on and trying to get me down to the stables to meet the girls there, I thought I'd give that a miss. There's quite a lot more I could tell you about village life back in the early days. I know a lot of you want to know about Mrs. Fortescue. I might do a kind of private podcast episode for those of you who might be interested in Mrs. Fortescue and various other goings on. The vicar came round to my house several evenings, just various excuses, talking about the lighting and talking about this. Oh, could you pop into the church? And every time he popped in to see me, it was the same old line. Oh, where's Kathy? Is Kathy not around? No, she's out. He said to me once, oh, she's always out. And I said, yeah, she's very busy. You know, she works hard. Obviously, he hadn't come to see me at all. He'd come round to see Kathy. As I say, there's so much more about village life that really was quite shocking. Put Peyton Place to shame. Thinking back, there was Mrs. Blythe Smith. Her husband always seemed to be away. She had a lovely daughter. There was Mrs. Wilkinson Brown. That was another fine young woman. Oh, one other thing that comes to mind just before I go. The village Bobby, the village policeman on his bicycle. I'm going back, you know, to the 70s. You don't see them on bicycles anymore. On his rounds, he had one or two houses that he called at. That was brought to my notice by someone in a tennis club. So even the village Bobby was, on patrol a lot of the time. It's funny, the more I think back recalling certain events, the more I remember other events, other happenings in the village, all rather interesting. I wonder whether all quaint English villages are the same. I know they've got their gossip and the rest of it and things that go on, but I wonder whether they're as bad as the village I lived in. There we are. Thanks for listening, as always. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. The next one will be available next Sunday. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.